सदाशिवसमारंभाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। पंचकोश विवेक प्रक्रिया you covered up to, we have also seen Anandamaya Kosha. See, what is Anandamaya Kosha? When the Vritti Jnanam is not there, when there is no manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, when the no other manifestation of no other knowledge is there, when all the thoughts are resolved, when the mind is blank, and in the blank mind, what is? The blank mind is object of experience, object of knowledge. When the dream world is not there, the waking world is not there, I do not even no, I am, then what is a blankness, and then blankness is object of experience. In that blankness, blank state of mind, there is a nothingness also. Nothingness means what? There's nothing of the world, that's all. But still there is ajnanam. That ajnanam means what? Nothingness is ajnanam. That ajnanam is what? Unmanifest power. It is that a power of reality, otherwise called ajnanam. Ajnanam is a thing, not absence of knowledge. Unmanifest power of knowledge. Ajnanam, ignorance, is not absence of knowledge. Ajnanam or ignorance is unmanifest power of jnanam. Avyakta jnana shaktihi. Natu abhava jnana shaktihi. Ajnanam is not jnanasya abhavaha. Ajnanam is not jnanasya abhavaha. It is not absence of ignorance. Ajnanam is avyakta jnana shaktihi. Unmanifest power of knowledge is ajnanam. And there is a power obtaining. How can you understand what is power? Power of reality. Power of reality has to be understood in terms of its, nature of not knowing anything. Not knowing anything means what? Oh, there's no world. The blankness of mind, the world is not there, the world of objects is not there, then you understand the power. And ajnanam, when that ajnanam is there, shakti. Shaktihi and Shakti Swarupam, the power of reality and the reality which is the Swarupam, truth of the power. Shaktihi Shakti Swarupam. The truth of the power, the reality of the power, the Swarupam of the power and the power are inseparable. Shaktihi and the Shakti Swarupam are inseparable. When the Shakti Swarupam is inseparable, of course, Shakti is never separable. Avyakta Shaktihi also is never inseparable. Vyakta Shaktihi in the form of world also is inseparable. But then, without any nama, rupa, karmakyam, jagat, without form, name and function, the power is inseparably there, only power as only reality. And then the aham vrittihi is also not resolved. Therefore, an aham vrittihi is resolved. There is no way of entertaining any wrong notion about the self. So the fundamental human problem of sense of being small, sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, sense of insecurity, centered on I is also resolved. And then what is what? No object being available externally, no object, the attention, the mind not being associated with any external world, there's no contact with the external, an object. The subject of the division also is not there. Then the vritti that is there is shanta vrittihi, antarmukha vrittihi. Then what is sukham, and that sukham also is experienced. So when there's a purna ajnanam, then sukha anubhava. Purna ajnane sukha anubhavaha. And that sukham and the purna ajnanam, total ignorance, and the sukham that is experienced together form what? We say sukha vrittihi and ajnana vrittihi, which form the anandamaya koshaha, and that is also object of experience because that is not permanently there. That state of mind undergoes a change, therefore, and it is not, it's also an object of experience. And there is an experiencer without undergoing a change, and that experiencer is, has no form, no name, no function, no action, but there's a knower who is free from form, name and function. The formless, abstract, something which is present because of which the nothing being there is known. Sukham being there is known. Ajnanam being there is known. And that knower, experiencer is actually the reality. The knower is only a term to mean the reality in terms of its nature of knowing from the standpoint of the known. Ajnanam and the sukham. That knower, that which is arrived at as the surupam of the knower, so truth of the knower, in which the knower status is resolvable, that truth is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is the surupam of I, which is I. Which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore which alone obtains as the innermost essence of every being, therefore that truth is implied by the term Atma. The same truth is what? We say is existence of the whole jagat, therefore existence in another word, and it is free from all limitations, therefore it is also implied by the term another word, Brahma. Okay. Now, this is what we understood in the last class. Now we have to see this next verse.
Swayamevanubhutitvat Swayamevanubhutitvat Vidyate nanubhavyata. Vidyate nanubhavyata. Jnatrujnanantarabhavat. ज्ञातृज्ञानान्तराभावात् अज्ञेयो नत्वसत्तया ज्ञातृज्ञानान्तराभावात् अज्ञेयो नत्वसत्तया.
Here, is another important verse. Pradhanaha Ashlokaha. And this here, in this verse, Vidyaranya Swami carefully negates some misconceptions, especially basic fundamental misconceptions of the Vedantic teaching. And one of the important misconceptions is that there is a very strong notion on the part of everybody that Atma has to be experienced. People who study Vedanta have Shraddha in the Vedanta Shastram, and in spite of being given a study of the Shastram, some of them think that we have to experience the truth. We have to have some spiritual experience. People are still waiting for some spiritual experience. They want to experience the Atma. There's a desire to experience the Atma. And they'll also say, it's only study, it's only intellectual exercise. It's all bookish knowledge. Studying Vedanta is a bookish knowledge. And you don't have experience. You don't experience the Atma. So to experience Atma, you don't need to study Shastram, don't need to have bookish knowledge. You have to only practical knowledge. You have to practice meditation and you can experience the Atma. Such misconceptions are there. And here, it is important for us to understand that Atma is never an object of experience. Atma is never an object of experience. If Atma is not an object of experience, then what is Atma? Atma is not an object of knowledge, not Atma, object of experience, object of observation. No. Atma is not an object of experience means Atma. Then what is his Atma? Atma is not the subject also, but we have to say Atma is the truth which is distinct from the object and subject, but which is available for recognition as the experiencer. Available for understanding as an experiencer, as a swarupam of the experiencer knower. Therefore, Vidyaranya Swami states here that there is no such a thing called
ఆత్మ అనుభవ.
ఆత్మ అనుభవ ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ దేర్.
న అనుభావ్యత
means Atma does not have the status of being the object of experience. Atma is not available for experience. Therefore, Atma Anubhavaha, experience of Atma, such a thing called experience of Atma is impossible. It is not there at all. Why? Because first word you see, Swayam Yeva Anubhutitvat. Swayam Yeva Tanahave. By itself. Swayam Yeva means that by itself. Anubhutitvat. Anubhutihi here means being conscious. Being con in this context, anubhutihi is a feminine gender word. Anubhavaha is a masculine gender word. Anubhavaha, anubhutihi. Both the words mean the same. Okay, which one is a masculine gender word, which is a feminine gender word. So, atma, na anubhavyata means there is no such a thing called self-experience, I mean, atma anubhavaha, experience of the atma is not there. Why? Because swayameva anubhutitvat. But anubhutihi in this context means being conscious. And anubhutitvam means having the status of being conscious. Having the status of being, enjoying the status of being conscious is called anubhutitvam. Anubhutitvam means enjoying or having the status of being conscious. And swayameva means by itself. As Atma enjoys, Atma has the status of being conscious by itself. Which means, as Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Swayameva anubhutitvat means, Atma, swayameva anubhutitvam means Atma having the status of being conscious. Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Unarve vadivanadu. Atma is of the nature of awareness, consciousness. Why it is conscious? Because being conscious is its nature. Therefore, that formless, inexplicably subtlest, abstract reality, because of the presence of which the knowledge of sukham, knowledge of ajnanam is possible. Experience of sukham and ajnanam is possible. That abstract, formless, inexplicable, subtlest reality is of the nature of consciousness. Being conscious is its nature. Therefore, it is known by the term jnanam, chitta chaitanyam. So, swayameva anubhutitvat, it's because it is of the nature of consciousness, there is never a time Atma is not evident as I am. There is always Atma as an evidence. There's always Atma is evident as I am. I'm repeating the sentence, very important. All the time, there is Atma evident as I am. There's no need for any special experience of the Atma. Of course, we already understood it's impossible to experience the Atma because Atma is not an object of experience. We already understood. And again, we don't need any experience. Why? Because Atma is of the nature of awareness, consciousness, pure knowledge. And it is, there's never a time Atma is not evident. Always Atma is the evident in terms of I am, as I am. So this, so Atma, not only Atma cannot be objectified, there's no need for us to objectify the Atma. Why? Na anubhavyata. Atma is not an object of experience. Atma does not have the status of being the object of experience. Anubhavyata nasti. Means it is not object of experience. Therefore, so what? Atma is swayam, swayameva anubhuti, swayameva anubhutihi. Swayameva anubhuti means it is the very knowledge. Atma is the very knowledge. Atma is the very consciousness. Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Therefore, being witness, being the witness is also the nature of the Atma. You already seen Sakshitvam. Suppose if Atma is an object of experience, then definitely there must be another experiencer of the Atma. If Atma has to be experienced, there must be another experiencer of the Atma. And there's no other experiencer. The only experiencer is Atma. The only experiencer of everything is Atma. And there's no experiencer of the Atma. And what is Atma experience? Because experiencing, knowing, being aware, being conscious is the swarupam of the Atma. Swayameva anubhutitvam. Atma has swaya anubhutitvam. Swayameva anubhutitvam. And next line he says, jnatru jnanantara abhavat. Jnatru jnanantara abhavat means there is no knowledge of the knower. We understand very carefully. Very important verse. Jnatru abhavat. Jnatru means jnata. Jnata means knower. Abhavaha means absence. So due to the absence of the knower of the Atma, there is no knower of the Atma. Why? There is no knower other than the Atma. Atma is the only knower of everything. And if Atma has to be the known and experienced, if Atma is an object of experience, there must be another knower. He makes it very clear, there's no other knower of Atma. Jnatra abhavat. Not only that, jnanantara abhavat. Therefore, there's no such a thing called knowledge of the Atma. Okay? There's no such a thing called knowledge of the Atma. There is no such thing called knower of the Atma. There is neither knower of the Atma. There is no knowledge of the knowledge of the Atma. As what? As a given incident. As a given situation. As a given event. There's no knowledge of the knower. Jnatru jnanantara abhavat. Jnanantara abhavat. There's no knower of, there's no knowledge of the knower. See, when you say knowledge of any given thing. Suppose we say, I have knowledge of physics, knowledge of science, I have understood this, I have knowledge of that. Any knowledge which takes place, and that is an event. Knowledge of any object is an event, which means it takes place on a given day, at a given time, in a given place, given occasion, knowledge takes place. Whereas, knowledge of the Atma is, there's no knower of the Atma. Therefore, knowledge of the knower is not possible as what? As a given event happening on a given day, at a given time. Because if the Atma has to be known, then there must be a knower of the Atma, and that knower of Atma must be different from the Atma. So there must be other knower, one more knower apart from Atma. If Atma is the knower of everything, and if Atma also has to be experienced, there must be another knower other than Atma to know the Atma. Therefore, and such a knower of Atma does not exist. Jnatru abhavaha. Jnatru jnanantara abhavat. Okay, it means there is no knower other than the Atma, which is capable of knowing the Atma. And this knower, how do I know? Atma is the only knower is Atma. How do you know? The knower is always experienced. As what? The knower is always evident. The knower is always experienced as I. When you say I, if this knower is always experienced as I, and this knower does not require objectification, the knower which is always experienced as I does not need, doesn't require objectification. For me to know I am, should I become an object? Should I be objectified? Not necessary. I'm repeating a very important sentence. For the knower to be, the knower is always evident as I am, always experienced as I am, I. Therefore, there's no requirement. Therefore, it doesn't require any, I does not require objectification. Even though you say the subject of knowledge can never become the object of knowledge, even though he said that knower, subject of knowledge can never be known, still there's never a time the knower is not. Never a time the knower is not. Which means never the knower is absent. There's no such a thing called absence of the knower. Which means the knower is ever present. Always the knower is. The knower status may not be there. Without the status of being the knower is always there. The person who is working in the office as a manager is a manager, but he is not manager always. So the main manager status is not there when he comes back home, but he is still there. Without the manager position, the manager is at home. Similarly, I'm just example I'm giving. Don't stretch the example too much. This Atma, the reality, abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, consciousness, is always there as the knower. But without the status of being a knower also, it is always there. Always there as the knower. There's a never a time Atma is not there as the knower. Atma is always, therefore, there's no knower other than the Atma. Therefore, knower is always there. Always knower is. Always there's an experiencer. And that non-experienceable, unknowable, non-objectifiable, the swarupam of the subject, the knower Atma, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, is available for recognition only in one's own mind as the very truth of I, the knower experiencer. So whenever we all see each other, we experience each other, then what do we experience? What do we see? What do we know? I can see, I can know, I can experience only your physical form. I can experience, I can see the physical body, that is, which is nothing but the elemental material aspect of you, the individual. I cannot, even the subtle mind and pranas, I cannot experience. I cannot experience the other, your emotions, which are subtle, because they're subtle. And the Atma aspect of you, the consciousness, the pure knowledge of you, the aspect of you, I can never experience. Similarly, when you're all seeing, all of us are seeing all of us, we are all experiencing, all of us means, we are all experiencing all our material, elemental, material aspect of the individual alone we are experiencing. All of us see all our bodies. All of us know all our bodies. All of us experience our physical forms means, we all experience only the inert, elemental, material aspect of the individual. And the consciousness aspect of the individual, the Atma implied by the term Atma, is never experienceable. I cannot experience the Atma, the consciousness aspect of every one of you. None of us can experience the Atma, the consciousness aspect of us. There is another, apart from body, mind, sense complex, we understood in the Tattvabodha class, there is an Atma, the pure consciousness as subtlest reality aspect. Consciousness part, and we cannot experience that. All of us have consciousness aspect. All of us have Atma aspect. All of us have the subtlest abstract reality aspect. But that consciousness part, consciousness pure knowledge aspect, none of us can experience. Because every one of us can say, I am a conscious being. I can look at you, I can look at every one of you, and I can say, you are pure consciousness. You are pure knowledge. You are pure awareness. You are a conscious being. You are a conscious being which cannot be known through any of the means of knowledge, which serve as a means of direct knowledge of objects. I do not know yourself, you, the conscious being, through any of the pramanams, any of the means of knowledge. of means of direct knowledge. No pratyaksha pramanam. All our sense organs are what? Pratyaksha pramanam. It means we cannot, through any of the sense organs, I cannot perceive you, the conscious being. Okay? Through any of my sense organs, through instruments of perception, which serves as means of perception, I cannot perceive, see, hear, smell, taste, and know you, the conscious being. But definitely it is possible for me to infer the consciousness, the awareness in every one of you. Definitely, similarly, you, all of us can infer the consciousness. We do not see, perceive, or experience through any of the sense organs. But definitely, we all can infer the consciousness in all of us. I can infer consciousness in all of you. You all can infer consciousness in all of us, in me. How do you infer consciousness? Just by seeing our physical behavior, physical activities, our behavior in terms of actions and reactions. There are actions on our part, there are reactions on our part, and our actions and reactions are expressed in our physical behavior. Is the proof that there is consciousness in all of us. It's only we only infer. Just by seeing somebody who is fast asleep, and there's another person who's dead. There are two people, okay, in ICU. One person is dead. Another person is fast asleep. And the doctor comes and sees both of them. And one person, he says, no, he is alive. He's fast asleep, but still he's alive. Another person is dead. So your doctor has to certify that another person is dead and he's certifies purely through inference. Never does a doctor certifies a person's death through perception, which means through any of the direct means of knowledge in terms of perception through sense organs. Because it is not possible for our eyes to see whether there is a life in a person or not. It is not possible for the eyes to see whether there is death. The person is, no, death, dead. Seeing the person simply move without moving, like just lying there, we cannot say the person is dead. We cannot say eyes cannot see the life or death. It's only inference works. Pratyaksha pramanam does not work. Which means perception doesn't work, inference works. And the physical, so inference, similarly consciousness is inferred through, inferred by the physical movements and activities. So what is the nature of the reality? Now we understand the reality in terms of its nature of being conscious, being aware. Therefore, we use the term consciousness to mean the reality, imply the reality. Now we use the word consciousness. And this reality, the consciousness, is said to be, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. So what? It's all pervasive. Even though it's all pervasive, we cannot perceive the Atma. There's no place, no time, no object where Atma is not, consciousness is not. But we cannot perceive the Atma. We can only infer the consciousness. It means what? The presence of consciousness we can infer the presence of consciousness. We cannot see the consciousness, but we can infer the presence of consciousness. So, if I have to recognize the consciousness, and Upanishad says that consciousness, the reality, has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing, in terms of its nature of being conscious. That, and this conscious, as consciousness, reality has to be sensed as consciousness only in one's own body. It's available for sensing only in my own physical, you know, my own body. And even within the body, where? In one's own antahkaranam, and which is like a cave. In Taittiriya Upanishad mantra, all of you would have memorized by now. Guhayam nihitam satyam jnanam anantam brahma guhayam nihitam yo veda nihitam guhayam paramevyo man. There, guhayam nihitam. So, for me to sense the consciousness, to recognize the consciousness, I have to search where it is recognizable. And Upanishad gives the clue, guhayam nihitam. in the cave of Antahkaranam, I am not experiencing consciousness. I cannot experience consciousness implied by the term Brahma in the cave of my Antahkaranam. In fact, before going to the dead end of the cave of mind, you start seeing, you can see the whole mountain here, and you are passing through a big cave. Start from the first Annamaya Guha, then Pranamaya Guha, then Manomaya Guha, then Vijnanamaya Guha, then Anandamaya Guha, and finally you enter cognitive. Okay, you're entering into the guha and passing through the guha. Five caves you cross. There is no sixth cave. You have to stop. One after the other, we are passing through the caves. Each kosha is like a guha, cave. Likened to a cave. There is consciousness all over. All the caves are filled with consciousness. The consciousness is all pervasive. Externally all pervasive. Internally all pervasive. There's no without external, without any inside and outside. Consciousness has no inside, outside. It's all pervasive. And we finally, negating all of them as non-self, non-atma, anatma. And when we cross this last cave of Anandamaya Kosha, and that is what you have to go, the dead end of the cave, the interior most part of the cave, and there we find Atma, the all-pervasive, abstract, inexplicably subtlest reality, which is of the nature of being conscious, which is the nature of consciousness. The very essence, sarupam of the Anandamaya, the Shakti. And it is the very content. And consciousness is the content. Just as H2O is the content of every form called wave. And this pancha guhas, which are all pervaded in and through, and we reach the dead end of this Anandamaya guha, and there we arrive at, stumble upon helplessly the abstract, formless reality. Not cognitively stumbling upon, okay? Not physically stumbling upon. Reality which is of the nature of consciousness, knowledge, as the very content. And which is implied by the term Atma. And here, imagine the sampradaya with the teacher. When he's carefully unfolding and makes the student at every, like a journey, holding on. It is like walking along with the teacher, holding on to his little finger. You're trekking the mountain. It's like that. And at every level, every cave you pass through, the teacher helps you understand how it is a cave. Every layer of personality, which is likened to a cave, is anatma. It's not atma, is not there. In every cave, there is atma. Every level, layer of personality is in and through, pervaded by the atma, the consciousness. But you can't see. It is an object. And you negate like one by one. You pass through all that. And finally, the teacher leaves. After negating the Anandamaya Kosha as Anatma, helping you see. The teacher helps the student see how the Anandamaya Kosha is also an object of knowledge which is not there permanently. And there is an knower of the object of experience in the Anandamaya Kosha that is called Ajnanam and Sukham. And there, he helps the student negate the Anandamaya as the Kosha Anatma. Then the teacher leaves him alone. And it is for the student. Nothing else is there to be negated. And what is non-negatably there is the experiencer, knower, the subject of knowledge. Is the abstract reality, pure consciousness, pure knowledge. So the teacher, this is how the teacher helps him arrive at it. Doesn't show. He only helps him negate what the Atma is not. And after having helped him negate what Atma is not, what is Anatma? And he leaves the student to recognize what is as the Atma. So the teacher finishes here, but the student gets up with his doubt. Not doubt, he gets up with his question. What's the question? Hey Acharya, just to make you understand this verse, I'm giving you this dialogue with the Acharya and the student, okay? There's no Acharya student here. It is the way I'm unfolding this verse. Hey Acharya, very clear. You help me understand, and I clearly understood I did negate, I could see each every kosha, every layer of personality as the non-self anatma, which is like the container, the form, and which is not the reality implied by the term Atma. And after having negated all the layers of personality, all the koshas as the containers, which means mere form, name and function, the all-pervasive reality, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, the content must be available for experience. But I successfully negated the layers of personality, I could easily see that's how they're all anatma, the objects of experience. After the negation, I do not experience atma. I don't have any experience. And here, when the student has a doubt, the teacher answers. You negated the containers as the anatma. There are no more container to be negated. The non-negatable is the content. The non-negatable content is consciousness. The abstract reality which is of the nature of consciousness. And that non-negatable content obtaining in the form of consciousness is the Atma. And the only experiencer, only knower, only observer of everything that is here, the entire world, is this Atma. But his Atma is never experienceable, never an object of experience. And it is this abstract, formless reality, consciousness, otherwise, said to be our pure awareness, the only content of not only one individual panchakoshas, all the individual panchakoshas of all the individuals. Only content of all the containers of all the individual beings. So again, the question is there. That's fine. But how can I experience that consciousness? How do I experience the pure awareness, which is of the nature of knowing, which alone brings, by its nature of knowing, which brings the entire world of inert objects to light, which illumines everything? And here, the teacher has to answer with great patience. Consciousness cannot be experienced as an object of consciousness. Is not an object which can be experienced. Oh, how many times you are repeating, how can I understand, experience consciousness? No, it cannot be experienced. It's not an object. What do I do now? The teacher, student says, teacher has to say, you have to claim yourself being the experiencer consciousness. Which means the pure awareness, the pure consciousness, the abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, awareness, has to be taken ownership of, has to be claimed as I, the experiencer. Knowing the consciousness recognizing the consciousness means claiming that I am the consciousness, taking ownership of or claiming that I am consciousness is recognizing, knowing consciousness. There's no other way of knowing consciousness. There's no other way of experiencing consciousness. So experiencing consciousness, knowing consciousness means taking ownership of consciousness as I, claiming that I am the consciousness, I am the self, I am the awareness, I am the pure knowledge is recognition of consciousness, is knowledge of consciousness. And this claiming that I am the consciousness, I am the awareness, is not objectification of anything, is not an objectification at all. When somebody comes to your house asking for you, want to meet you, and he asks for you, then what do you say? I am here. I am the person you are looking for. Telling the other person that you are the person looking for is not objectification of yourself. Nee theedra aasami naanda. When you're saying, it is not objectification. And is claiming that I the self am the pure consciousness, pure awareness, which doesn't involve any form of objectification. There's no objectification. Is a thought in the mind. I, the self, am consciousness. Is he claiming one's real nature, oneself? Is a thought in the mind. So not only the subject can never become the object, the object also never becomes the subject. Light never becomes the illumined. Opaque never becomes the illuminator. It's impossible for such an interchange. What cannot be known at all
is unknowable, non-knowable, is always in the form of the knower, Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, the unknowable, non-knowable is the subject, the knower. And if we say there's no knower, and there cannot be known at all. So without the knower, what can be known is knowable, and the knowable has to become the known. It presupposes knowable becoming the known, presupposes the existence of the knower. The knowable, for the knowable to become the known, there must be the knower. Knowable becoming the known presupposes the existence of the knower. There is a huge world of fivefold objects perceived through five different senses. And this perceived world of objects is because there is imperceptible perceiver. The entire perceptible, perceived world of objects is because of the imperceptible perceiver. And Vidyarana Swami says, to mean this, Agneyaha. You can go back to this verse and see, Agneyaha. Gneyaha means, why? See, the Gneya, let me tell you here. Agneyaha natu asattaya. What does it mean? Agneyaha here implies the Atma. Atma is implied by the word Agneyaha. See, Gneya is a past passive participle, which means knowable, that which can be known. That which can be known is knowable, and Gneya means knowable. And Atma here, the reality is implied by the term Atma as one's own self. Atma is a masculine gender word. Therefore, Gneyaha. Suppose a Brahma, they became what? Agneyam. Atma Agneyaha. Chit Agneya. If the word was conscious, Chitihi or Chit, it would have been Agneya Chit. Agneyaha Atma Agneyam Brahma. It depending upon the word which implies the reality. Atma is the word used here to mean the reality. Atma is a masculine gender word. Therefore, Agneyaha. Agneyaha means unknowable, non-knowable. Agneyaha natu asattaya. It means the non-unknowable, non-knowable knower. What is unknowable? What is non-knowable? The knower. So Ajneyaha is equal to unknowable, non-knowable. Unknowable, non-knowable is equal to the subject of knowledge, the knower. Natu Asatya means the knower consciousness, the knower awareness is always there. Natu Asatya means what? Is never a time the knower is not. There's never a time the knower is not. The knower, the unknowable, non-knowable, no. So the Ajneha is equal to knower. Jneha is equal to known. Jneya means known. Ajneha means knower. The non-knowable, unknowable knower is always there as very consciousness. Because it is always there as consciousness. Why it is there always? Because being existent is its nature. We use another word, existence. So existence is the very nature of the reality. Because never a time it is not there. And that reality which is always there, which is of the nature of existence, is of the nature of being conscious, therefore it is consciousness. So, Ajneyaha Natu Asatya means the experiencer, knower, the subject of knowledge who is never knowable, who can never be known, is always there. As what? As I am. I am in deep sleep state, not knowing I am. I am in waking state, knowing I am. I am in dream state, knowing the dream, but not knowing I am the dreamer. When am I not? When is the experiencer not? Never. Okay? Therefore, how should we claim? I am. I, the experiencer, am the consciousness, Atma, the reality. Swamiji used to say, Swamiji, before the birth of this body, I was not here. Why? Because I did not know anything. How do you know that you were not before the birth of the body? I like this. Pirappadharku munbu naan illai. I was not here before I was born. You know that you are not here. So before you were born, you are here. How do you say you are here? Because you know that you are not born. You know you are not here. And who is the knower? The one who knows that I was not here before I was born is the knower. That is what is you. So there's never a time the knower is not. Today I've learned one more word. What is that? Jnayam is known. Ajneyaha is jnata. So Ajneyaha is another, the word Ajneyaha implies the jnata, the knower. Because of unknowability. I really like this verse because if you go out, everybody wants, I want experience. And again, you have to come back to Vedanta. Then stop asking for experience. Every experience is because you are there. Every experience is Atma. Every experience is Atma. Because without the Atma experiences, there can't be an experience. Every experience is Atma is not experienced. Atma is not the experience. Atma is neither the experiencer. That's why Triputi Bheda Rahitaha. Atma is not the knower, not the knowledge, not the known. Jnatru Jnana Jnaya Triputi Bheda Bhinna. Atma is the pure knowledge, which is pure knowledge, source of knowledge, which is very knowledge, which is different from, which is distinct, not different, distinct from the knower, which is free from knower status, which is free from the vritti jnanam, which is different from the known. But there cannot be knower, known or knowledge. There cannot be experiencer or experience or the experienced outside of the Atma. Every object of experience is Atma. Every experience is Atma. The experiencer is also Atma. Atma is free from all the three. It takes a lot of Saddha to be committed to Vedanta. Because the more we understand Vedanta, the more you'll be denied. Of course, you are asked to do karma for maturity, for antakarna shuddhi. But for moksha, you are always no karma is required here. But people want to do something. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.